In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful story of the feeding of the 5,000 holds surprising truths about our faith. We call this event a miracle because the result is truly amazing, and yet its simplicity and ordinariness are equally surprising. This idea of the extraordinary bound up with the everyday cuts to the heart of our way of living and speaks anew to our predicaments today. Something that is immediately apparent in the story is the choice between two competing visions of reality: Herod's kingdom of fear and Jesus's kingdom of heaven. Herod had just demonstrated the nature of the kingdom of fear at his lavish banquet, displaying the telltale sign of the will to power for the few in the beheading of John the Baptist. Jesus, on the other hand, represents the kingdom of heaven, first by retreating into the wilderness to pray, and then by a simple meal of bread and fish for everyone. That Jesus would seek to be alone with his heavenly Father in prayer is a natural and healthy response to the grotesque happenings in Herod's kingdom of fear. He had been telling the people about a kingdom based on love, in which they were beloved. He demonstrated the principles of this alternative kingdom through acts of mercy and kindness, by healing the sick, comforting the oppressed, and forgiving the sin-laden. He had embodied God's love, and the crowd in our story decides to follow Jesus there. The day was growing late, and the disciples came to Jesus with a very practical concern. They say, "The crowd will be hungry soon," and having calculated what would be required to feed such a large group, they rightly conclude that the need is too great. The need is simply too great. And we can say that about a lot of things in these difficult days. The need for jobs is too great. The need for vaccines and therapeutics for the coronavirus is too great. The need to get back to normal social functioning is too great. Mental health needs are too great. The list extends to people that we know in our families, even to ourselves, with needs that seem too great. So many needs, overwhelming needs. Our response to the recognition of the great needs of our time could be a steady stream of tears, or, like Jesus' disciples, a shrug of the shoulders. They say to Jesus, "Please send them away to buy some food and solve their own problems." But Jesus immediately says, no, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. It is a preposterous command. But the disciples are obedient. They take inventory and identify what they have. It's hardly anything. 5 loaves and 2 fish is all. We know it's not nearly enough. It certainly would not be enough in the kingdom of fear. But it's here that Jesus enacts the Eucharistic mystery. Jesus takes what they have, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it back to the disciples for distribution. And this is what is called miraculous. It multiplies, and it becomes plenty, much more than enough to satisfy the need. What began as overwhelming need and insufficient resources has become more than enough for everyone. All of our Eucharists are representations of this process of faith. Jesus gives us the formula. First, he calls us to feed the people who may not only hunger for food, but hunger as well for dignity and justice, for belonging and meaning. Jesus asks us then to identify and collect the gifts that we already have and to offer them back to him for his blessing. That will be enough, says the gospel. Which is incredibly surprising to me, and I hope to you, in a good and joyful way. God has given us enough so long as we offer it back to him for his blessing. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how he takes what we have and makes it enough. But that is what God does. That is who God is. We see this pattern repeated in Holy Scripture and in our lived experience. In the early days of St. John's Church, I've learned that we twice tried to surrender our charter back to the diocese because of insufficient resources. Send them away, Lord. But God blessed the gifts, and this church has been feeding the community for about 100 years since. Thanks be to God. I once served a church that had a call to provide financial assistance to local nonprofits. But the problem was that they didn't have any money to provide to the needy. They looked around at what they had and found they had use of a small dusty patch of land near the downtown. And there was a member who knew about some cheap pumpkins way out west being sold in New Mexico. Might they resell them to raise a little bit of money? No one thought that it would raise much money, but they offered it back to God. God blessed it, and the ministry multiplied over the years to serve a dozen charities with 100 volunteers. That little pumpkin patch today contributes close to $75,000 a year for those local ministries. Sometimes when we think of miracles, they seem far away or rare or maybe a thing of the past. What if instead we were to think of all of life as miraculous? The priest and poet John Donne put it in perspective when he wrote, "There is nothing that God hath established in a constant course of nature, and therefore which is done every day, but would seem a miracle and exercise our admiration if it were done but once." Miracles are happening every day in the ordinariness of life. The feeding of the 5,000 reveals that we are called to participate in these miracles by accepting God's call to serve, by searching out and then offering back our gifts, meager as they may seem, and finally by sharing God's increase with our hungry world. Participation in this Eucharistic ministry is demanding. True faith is not inert. But this participation is, in fact, the liveliest part of our everyday faith. And it is our joyful work with Christ in the kingdom of heaven.